ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, text
58.
Machita sarva durgani, machita sarva durgani, matprasada tarishyasi, atachet atachet, not atha, it's atachet, no? No, no, not attached. Attached. Here Lord Krishna speaks about the obstacles of conditioned life. Life in this world is full of difficulties. Arjuna was a man whose life was dedicated to removing obstacles by fighting and killing bad elements in society. So he was quite accustomed to taking on big obstacles. He was no small timer. For Arjuna, compared to us, what he had to face, we cannot imagine. It's beyond our power to imagine what kind of obstacles he would have that he could face. But for him, it became a very great difficulty that he had to fight with his dear grandfather, teachers, relatives, friends. That would be difficult for any of us, but especially so for Arjuna, because he was such a pure soul. He was so dedicated to dharma, or doing the proper thing. There's a saying in English, I'm pretty sure it must be there in Croatian also, about having to choose between the lesser of two evils. So Arjuna, he had to choose between fighting and not fighting, but he saw both of them as being so bad that he didn't want to do either of them. What does a person do in a situation like that? You just want to commit suicide, but when you're faced with a situation just opposite to what this Kavi guy, you may have heard of him, he was wildly popular about 20 years ago. He used to talk about win-win situations, but for Arjuna it was a lose-lose situation. And even if he had Stephen Covey as his personal life coach, wouldn't have helped him much. Fortunately, he had Krishna as his personal life coach, who's definitely much more qualified than Covey. But Krishna told him, forget this win-win nonsense. It's in this material world, it's all lose-lose. This idea that you'll win in the material world, what? It's it's full of illness, full of obstacles. The main obstacle is within the mind, the attachment. Therefore, again and again, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita speaks of sangam tyaktva, having given up material association. One becomes purified. So Arjuna, he was a great pure devotee, great personality. But for him to do this, to fight, he's in this situation, he found it to be very difficult because he was so dedicated to dharma. This became very clear when he was in the heavenly planets being invited by what we could call his biological father, Indradev, and the famous Apsara, Urvashi, became attracted to him. What woman would not be attracted to him? He's so powerful and strong and noble in character. But Arjuna, so she proposed to him, and Arjuna said, well, you are my grandmother several times removed, so I cannot. And she said, that doesn't apply here. That's on the earth, it doesn't apply here. And Arjuna said, I'm sorry, I can't. So who could refuse such a beautiful woman? But for the sake of dharma, he did. And she cursed him that you'll have to become a eunuch, which for a kshatriya is just about the worst possible thing that could happen. In fact, Krishna's first words to Arjuna, after Arjuna had poured out his heart, how I can't fight. And what was the first word Krishna said to Arjuna in response? Klaibhyam. Klaibhyam masmagamarpata. Klaibhyam, you've become a kleeb, which means a eunuch. Even up to the present day. Of course, now in the age of transgender and all this kind of thing, you're not allowed to insult people like that, but at least up to my childhood, if you wanted to insult a male, then you'd call him a pufta or a fairy or a eunuch or something like that. Means lacking in masculinity. So Arjuna was cursed like that, but he wouldn't budge because he was so attached to dharma. So it's very difficult for him to it's very difficult for us to understand how difficult it was for him to fight, because it wasn't just family affection, but he saw that as far as he could see, this is against the principles of dharma. And for him to go against dharma was unthinkable. He would rather accept the position of a eunuch, which actually became very useful for him during the 1 year in which he had to remain incognito, because no one could have... How to find the five Pandavas? No one could imagine that Arjuna had become a eunuch. It was the most unthinkable thing. Whatever else you might have thought, how Arjuna is hiding, but surely he couldn't become a eunuch. It's not possible for anyone even to think of that. But he was, actually. But he accepted that situation rather than go against what he understood to be dharma. So when he started instructing Krishna in dharma, adharma bhavat Krishna, he said, oh, there'll be adharma. He was a bit, dare we say it, stupid of him to try to instruct Krishna about dharma. But Arjuna found himself, he's in a very solid situation. He's proved himself to be a great devotee of dharma. And of course, Krishna told Arjuna at the end, sarva dhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Just forget all that dharma and surrender to me. That's more important. So Arjuna, he had to face many obstacles. Shankaracharya, in his glorification of Bhagavad Gita, has listed some of the obstacles that Arjuna had to fight. I don't remember exactly, but he was saying, just like Karna, he was talking about the great ocean of Kurukshetra. There's a great ocean in which he was talking about the waves and the Tamingala fish and the sharks, and he was saying Drona, Karna, Jayadrata. These are all great warriors who Arjuna had to face. How could he cross over this great ocean with so many terrible warriors? Even Srila Prabhupada here in his Gita commentary says that Arjuna was like a fig before Bhishma. We hear how powerful Arjuna, but Bhishma was so powerful that the great Arjuna seemed insignificant compared to Bhishma. But despite all these great obstacles, these personalities, great fighters, Krishna was the Karnada, he's the captain of the ship to pilot Arjuna across the ocean of obstacles that was Kurukshetra. So we can't imagine facing such big obstacles. Arjuna is a very great personality. He can face great obstacles. In this material world, how do people become great, especially military leaders? How do they become great? They don't become great by sitting in the military school and giving lessons in military theory. They become great by getting out on the battlefield. There are no famous heroes in the history of the world who are great military theorists. The great heroes are the ones who are out there. Napoleon and Wellington and Montgomery and Rommel, all these. You must have in your country also some great heroes. In India they have Shivaji. He was out there fighting. So they face tremendous obstacles and they overcome them. Not all the time. That's material life, isn't it? Napoleon, great hero, eventually had to drink, he was forced to drink horse urine. So I heard from Prabhupada. Prabhupada must have studied the life of Napoleon. But he was a great personality. Not everyone can be like that. Notwithstanding all these leadership seminars and personality development seminars, you can't make it. Not everyone's going to be a Napoleon. Business seminar. But not everyone's going to be a Bill Gates. There's limitations to what you can do. You can't make them. However much you genetically modify or give excellent seminars to a mule, you can't make him into a thoroughbred racing horse. A mule is a mule. It's just meant for carrying weights, that's all. There's not in the history of the world a great mule. He's got his karma. He's limited by his situation. So we're all limited by our situation. And what we all have obstacles. Everyone has obstacles in their life. Anyone here without any obstacles in their life? Anyone foolish enough to say, just like as it is popular saying in English, no problem. Nonsense. There's no one in the world who has no problem. If they think they have no problem, that's just another problem. But great people face great problems, and petty people become disturbed by little things. I can give one example, and you probably know many examples of, just one time, it was many years ago, when you say many years ago, getting old, that's another problem, old age. So many years ago, I was on Harinam Sankirtan Party in Birmingham, which you may have heard of. It's a major city in England, but you don't hear much about it because there's nothing much to say about it except that a lot of people live there. So we're doing Harinam, which is quite loud. And we went past someone who was in a phone booth. Those were the days when there were phone booths. You go to a phone booth and you make a phone call. So we were going past and it made a lot of noise. And as we were passing, the person obviously couldn't hear very clearly the person on the other end. So he became so frustrated and angry and rawr, he couldn't tolerate that for 20 seconds as we were going past, his phone call was interrupted. So for him, that was a major problem. It was a very small thing. But he took it to be a major thing. So at our level, we may find things which a great person seems to be something very small, we find it to be very great. Oh, how am I going to this, that? How am I going to tell my girlfriend that blah, 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 I don't love her anymore? Or something like this. For us, it seems to be a very big problem, major thing. Oh, I have a pimple on my face. The girls won't like me. Oh, major problem. What shall I do? Grow a beard. It's out of fashion these days. Actually, it's in fashion these days, isn't it? It's sometimes in fashion, sometimes out of fashion, sometimes a stubbly beard, and sometimes a pointy beard, a Shakespeare beard. This fashions change. So we all have problems. We all have obstacles you can't avoid. But Krishna says here, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. The first major obstacle, which most people don't even get past, is not understanding that material life is one big problem. They think that, yeah, we'll face the problem. Think positive. Look on the bright side. Look on the bright side. Birth, death, old age, and disease. What's the bright side of it? What's the bright side of that? What's the positive? Oh, you can enjoy yourself in the meantime. Yeah, but there's a problem with enjoying yourself is that you get bad karma. What's the bright side of that? There is no bright side. It's all nonsense. All this positive thinking, it's all nonsense. You're going to become an ass, and you're already an ass with two legs, and you're going to become an ass in your next life. Watch the bright side. And then you can have sex with a she-ass, and she'll kick you in the face. Look on the bright side. She could have kicked harder. Where's the bright side? So the first problem, which most people don't even get past, they don't even recognize that material existence is full of problems. It's just one problem after another. Many people come to me and say, I have one problem. I say, you're so fortunate. Most people have many, many problems. If you only have one problem. So many problems. One problem after another. This material life. Ashesha. Ashesha, klesha, nishesha. This material life is simply one problem after another. So to first of all understand that the material life is simply full of problems. What's the root cause of all these problems? Forgetfulness of Krishna. So Krishna says, Matchita, if you become conscious of me, then you'll cross over all the problems. Because the root cause of all problems is not being conscious of Krishna. If you become conscious of Krishna, then all the problems vanish away. go away. And we say, well, you see devotees, they also get old, they get diseased, they get involved in, people make court cases against them, people cheat them and lie to them and misbehave with them. So devotees, they also face so many obstacles. Yeah, that's true. Maybe more. Sometimes people, devotees, come to us in distress and say, oh, since I came to Krishna consciousness, my problems have increased so much. They're thinking if I turn to God, then my problems will go away. Artho, jignyasu, artharthi. The first kind of pious person who comes to Krishna is mentioned as the artha, the distressed person. And then the artharthi is someone who's desirous of wealth. So people come to Krishna thinking, well, I went to so many seminars and it didn't help. So let's try being religious. Let's try something else. Let's be religious, see if it works. God should help us. And they find their problems increase. What's going on? I thought when you turn to God, God helps you. They don't realize that's actually God's mercy if he makes things more difficult for you. How is that? Because when we understand that material life is simply miserable, then we can actually start to make spiritual advancement. We can start to become detached from material life. But as long as we're thinking material life is very nice, then we'll have to remain in this material world, even if we're chanting Hare Krishna. So it's Krishna's great mercy that he makes things difficult for his devotees. And in Krishna consciousness, we should be prepared to face the difficulties. If we are actually to serve Krishna, we should know that we will have to face many obstacles. To preach Krishna consciousness, it's like declaring war against materialistic life. If we tell people that we want to change your society, close the slaughterhouses, close the brothels, stop the pornography and prostitution, stop the free sex, and people will be, majority of people won't like this at all. They'll want to stop that. They will try to stop it. What should we do? Well, we should go on, face the obstacles. Even individually, if we tell people, you have to surrender to Krishna, give up sense gratification. If you're going to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to live a strict, disciplined, regulated life. We find, well, it's difficult to bring people to that. If we tell people just chant Hare Krishna at home and go to the Kirtan Mela once or twice a year, and you can sit at home and chant Hare Krishna as you like, if you like, in the meantime. And very nice, very good, very nice. If we tell people, no, even at home you have to follow so many things, they won't like very much. So it's better preaching not to tell them all the things that they don't like to do, is it? No, it's not better preaching. Because unless we tell them the things they need to do to become Krishna conscious, they won't become Krishna conscious. Right? There are things that we have to do. There are rules and regulations given by the acharyas to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. If we follow, we get the result. If we don't, we don't. Krishna consciousness is a science. That means if we follow the procedure, we can get the result. If it's predictable. If we don't follow the procedure, we won't get the result. There's a certain way to cook chapatis. If you follow the system, you get a chapati. If you don't, you don't get a chapati. Or it's not edible or digestible. So the proper system has to be followed. But then if we say that the system in Krishna consciousness, it minimizes sense gratification and disciplines our life. So that we have to do things that in the beginning we may not like, such as rising early in the morning, such as eating only food which is offered to Krishna, properly offered. That means not buying bread or cakes or biscuits or chocolates from a store. So that's a restriction. And people think, oh, too difficult. Okay, don't tell them, don't tell them. Don't tell them, and then they don't make advancement. But we're comfortable. We feel nice. But then we remain in the material world. So to overcome the obstacles of birth, death, old age, and disease, we have to face the obstacles of our own material attachments and overcome them. When Krishna says, if you become conscious of me, is what does that mean? Does it mean that you just... I'm thinking of Krishna. Prabhu, get up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's all right. I'm thinking of Krishna here in my sleeping bag. You heard that one before? Do some service. No, I'm thinking of Krishna. Don't disturb me. I'm thinking of Krishna. Krishna has told Arjuna, Ma manusmara yudhyacha. Think of me. Okay, very good. But don't just think of me. You have to fight also. We don't have to fight, but we have to get up and do some service. So to be in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't mean just pretending to think of Krishna. But if we're conscious of Krishna, then we're conscious of who He is. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means we're conscious of who we are. We're His servants. That means we have to do service. So to always think of Krishna means to engage in His service. And to engage in His service means to act in a way that He wants. These rules and regulations of spiritual life, they're given by Krishna to help us advance in consciousness of Him. So the first obstacle we have to overcome in Krishna consciousness is our own foolishness, stubbornness, attachment to not being Krishna conscious, attachment to the misconception that we can be happy by sense gratification, that we can be happy without Krishna consciousness, without doing what Krishna wants. The conception that we can have pleasure in this material world. As Srila Prabhupada wrote to a disciple who was very disturbed that she had cancer and she was dying of that. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back. He didn't write back saying, oh, I'm so sorry, very sorry to hear. He wrote back, pleasure is a misconception. Make a t-shirt with that. Pleasure is a misconception. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. That's a better one than what is that? True happiness has to be found within. Prabhupada didn't say that. Some people are making propaganda that Prabhupada said that. Rascals. But pleasure is a misconception. The idea that we can enjoy in this material world, it is a misconception. So that's the first obstacle to be overcome. And then there are many more. If we think we'll take to Krishna consciousness and lead a very comfortable life, that's another misconception. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But be happy doesn't mean that we get automatically transferred to the spiritual world. There may be many tests to see if we're actually fit to go there. To go to the spiritual world means we have to be in the consciousness of only serving Krishna for His pleasure with no personal desire. It's completely opposite to the consciousness of this material world. So there's the purification process. Purification process means to be taken out of that consciousness of trying to enjoy this material world and to be tested to see if we actually want to serve Krishna. There will be so many tests. So in practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness, there's so many tests also. It's relatively easy to practice Krishna consciousness at home or even in the ashram without preaching, because as Srila Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that to bring one person to Krishna consciousness, we have to spend gallons of blood. There'll be so many obstacles. If we try to preach, we'll find Maya will try to prevent us in so many ways. If things are going very well in our movement, in any center, be careful, because it never goes on very long like that. Maya will strike. Doesn't last very long. How are you doing? Great! If we think we're doing well in Krishna consciousness, be very careful. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm getting up every morning, chanting my rounds, and feeling fine, and making lots of advancement. Just the right time for Maya to hit. Whenever we think we're doing very well, that's just we're set up to be shot by Maya. In fact, that's already in Maya, even to think like that. Even to think I'm doing well. Very dangerous. Then we become complacent. We say, I'm doing well, then what do I need Krishna's mercy for if I'm doing well? I'm already doing well, so I don't need to. The implicit in that thought is that I don't need Krishna's mercy. But we do need Krishna's mercy. We're completely dependent on Krishna's mercy. Krishna tells Arjuna here, Mat prasada tarishasi. By my mercy, you can cross all over the obstacles. Even though Arjuna is such a great personality, but it's only by Krishna's mercy. As he found out later, after the departure of Krishna, when Arjuna was bringing the queens of Krishna, bringing the queens of Krishna into the custody, the idea was to bring them into the custody of the Pandavas so they could be protected. The great Arjuna, who had defeated so many great warriors, was beaten by a gang of tribals or just petty thieves, the kind of people who wouldn't even dare come near to Arjuna, because he just with one arrow he could finish them off very easily. But such people, they were able to defeat Arjuna, and Arjuna understood, now Krishna has departed, then what's left of me? His mercy is all that I am made of. So in practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness, we have to face many obstacles. If we're actually preaching, actually preaching Krishna consciousness means to declare war against the materialistic concept of life. Because it's not just by saying chant Hare Krishna and be happy that the whole materialistic civilization can be overcome, which is the aim of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, is to change the world in a way that people, the whole society becomes conscious of Krishna. It might not be that everyone becomes a devotee, but even the demons who are opposed to Krishna consciousness, they should be conscious of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was actually very pleased when he heard that our devotees were being persecuted by state authorities, first in Germany and then in America. It means it's in the news all the time. All the time people are hearing about Krishna. And everyone's thinking about Krishna. Even inimically, they're thinking about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's good. That's good. They're feeling the weight of the Hare Krishna movement. He said if it was something insignificant, they wouldn't bother. And he gave the example of this transcendental meditation. He said, no one's on their case. Why? Because there's nothing to oppose. There's nothing of any substance. They're not bothering this transcendental meditation because it's insignificant. It may be very widespread, but there's nothing of any substance. But this movement, the Hare Krishna movement, it threatens the whole materialistic civilization. And Prabhupada did not recommend to withdraw and retreat and say, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to bother you and we'll be nice from now on. And Prabhupada said, attack more. Now is a great chance for preaching. What was that, Srila Prabhupada? One of the things he said, I guess it shouldn't be said in public, although Srila Prabhupada said to say it in the court. Yeah, Prabhupada said to say it in the court, but it didn't come to that because the court case in America was solved very quickly because the judge, he ruled in favor of the Krishna conscious movement. But Srila Prabhupada, he said to tell him in the court that your society is just like on the street, one dog goes to smell the vagina of a bitch. So he said, your civilization is a vagina-licking civilization. You tell them in the court, Srila Prabhupada said. Told them to say. That's very aggressive, isn't it? Very provocative is the word. Srila Prabhupada wanted to increase the provocation so that people would, they may become more annoyed, then they make more obstacles. And the Krishna conscious movement would become more prominent. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Krishna. How did Krishna become recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Not by dancing with the gopis. Not by playing in Vrindavan, by killing the demons. Kamsa couldn't care less if Krishna was dancing with the gopis. He didn't care. What does he care? But Kamsa became so afraid because Krishna had come to kill all the demons. And Krishna went on killing demons. Up to the last, as long as he was in this world, personally and through the agency of especially Bhima and Arjuna and others also. So, crossing over obstacles, but practically we're in our Krishna conscious movement, we may be creating obstacles. It may seem like that. It may seem that if we preach as we're enjoined to preach, we'll actually create obstacles. If we're aggressive in preaching, then so many people will oppose us. But if we don't preach as we're supposed to preach, then that in itself is an obstacle to our whole existence. And what are we doing? What are we doing in this world if we're not preaching the message of Krishna consciousness as we've received it in the parampara? We can have an ashram with a few people living and collect money from the congregation and have a Sunday feast program with a kirtan and some prasadam, without having a strong preaching mood. But what we see happens is that everything becomes weak and watered down and there's no spirit. Whenever there's no preaching spirit, then there's no spirit for anything else either. And everything becomes very weak. And no one wants to do any service. There's no bliss. You have kirtan, but there's no bliss because there's no strong service spirit. Unless that spirit of service to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strong, then everything else becomes weak. And then what happens? Then we live in an ashram, but we don't have enough people to keep it clean, so it becomes all dirty and full of tamaguna, and then there's no one to worship deities, so just anyway, we'll dress them once a week and offer them just a piece of apple every day because too much trouble. There's no one to. Anyway, it's only Gaur-Nitai. So who? It's only Gaur-Nitai. So don't have to bother worshipping them properly. That's only Gaur-Nitai. So time, place, and circumstance, Prabhu. And then everything goes down, and there's no bliss. And then devotees fight among themselves, and they have big politics over nothing. Who will be in charge? Who will control this, that? And who will have the opportunity to loot whatever little money's coming in? And in this way, politics come. And unless we're fighting against Maya, we're going to fight against each other. That's Kali Yuga. It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So better fight with the demons than to fight with the devotees. And then we ourselves become demons by fighting among each other. There'll always be obstacles. If you think we're going to live a comfortable life, we'll never be happy. Anyone who thinks I'm going to live a comfortable life, especially in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna won't allow it, there's no happy life. I've seen in India, you go to some ashram, they're doing kirtan. Kirtan's supposed to be blissful. And you see, they're just doing it with half dead. And then in many temples, you find they have a kirtan machine. Or they have, you put it on at the beginning of RT, and the drums and the bells and everything, it goes on. And nowadays, you just play some recording, right? But that was the old system. There's a music machine. You don't have to have anyone there. Just the drums are playing and the gongs are banging, and it's all a machine, that's all. And with the advancement of technology, we can have robot pujaris, right? And why bother actually worshipping the deity if you can have a robot to do it? Shouldn't be difficult. It's just a simple thing. One hand goes like this, and the other hand goes like that. Very simple thing. So why bother with all this trouble of worshipping the deities? Why? And then we don't want to preach. If we preach, people come, and then you have to tell them to get up in the morning, and we ourselves don't want to get up in the morning. Anyway, we can't afford to keep them. Better face the obstacles that will make us glorious, as Arjuna becomes glorious, by taking Krishna's word and says, yes, I'll fight. We can know that if we practice Krishna consciousness as we're supposed to, then we're voluntarily accepting many obstacles, many difficulties. Tapo divyam putrika yena sattvat shudyat yasmat brahma sokyam tu anantam. We're enjoined to accept divine austerities by which our existence can become purified and we can actually come to eternal bliss, spiritual bliss. When I came here, I congratulated Suvarna Bindu Prabhu, and actually that goes to all the devotees here who have gone through difficult times, and actually the situation here in this temple has turned around, and although the situation was somewhat lax for some time, now the proper life of Krishna consciousness is being practiced here, and many obstacles had to be faced to come to that situation, and the obstacles are not fully gone, and nor will they ever go. I would say it's great. Devotees are coming, joining, becoming serious. This is very promising. Phalena parichyate. We can judge a tree by the fruit. Something real is substantial is happening here. And he said that, well, previously when we only had very few devotees, We thought it would be great if we get some more devotees, because there's so many services which we can't keep up with. Now we have more devotees, but in many ways more difficult. Because if there are more devotees, then more services become created, and we have to spend time and train them, and it's not easy training new men straight out of mlecha consciousness, and then so many things we have to teach, and in many ways it's more difficult. So that is the not that he had any sign of backing down from that, but he was just surprised because he thought life would become easier when we get more devotees. But in many ways it doesn't. And actually, in beginning a yatra, we find the beginning is the biggest struggle. But it's when we look back, we find it's often the most blissful. That's everywhere. Where the more struggle, and then later we can look back and think, oh, those were very blissful days. At the time, we might thought such a struggle. But later when we look, oh, that was very blissful. Because we get a lot of mercy by struggling, by spending those gallons of blood for Krishna. We get so much mercy from Krishna. Sukhina kshatriya paratha labhante yudham idrisham. The kshatriyas become very happy when they have an opportunity to fight in a battle. Why should they be happy? Otherwise they can sit at home with all their queens and enjoy life. But they're happy to have the opportunity to fight. That's just a mundane comparison. But when there is an opportunity to serve Krishna with struggle, actually there's so much mercy from Krishna. So congratulations to all of you who have been instrumental in bringing around this change. And don't become complacent. There are more challenges ahead. It's never finished. As long as we think that, let me just finish this problem and then everything will be nice. That's what the materialists think. They always think, I just have this little problem, I just solve that, then everything will be nice. But in solving one problem, another problem comes. There's always one, asheisha klesha nisheisha. There's unlimited problems, one after another. It brings to mind a statement of Srila Prabhupada's that was made to Indrajumna. I think he was Adhikari at the time, married, who with great difficulty, he relates this story, he's related it many times, that Srila Prabhupada arrived at the airport, Heathrow Airport, and Srila Prabhupada's baggage was missing, so he was given the service to collect the baggage and bring it, which means he missed going with Prabhupada the kirtan to welcome Srila Prabhupada. He had to take all the baggage, heavy baggage, had to physically bring it. He missed the whole kirtan and everything. And he arrived at the Berry Place temple after carrying that luggage on the tube or what, I think he put it in a taxi and brought it. He had to carry it up the stairs and he asked, is there any prasad left over? No, it was a fabulous feast. There's none left. He had to carry the bags up the stairs. He missed the feast. He missed the reception. He had to carry these heavy bags. And he just practically collapsed, falling on the ground to offer obeisance to Prabhupada. Is he feeling discouraged? And he felt a slap on his back. He looked up and there was Srila Prabhupada smiling, that oceanic smile, and said, as long as we're in this material world, there'll be so many difficulties. But when we go back to Godhead, there will be no more difficulties. So facing these difficulties, that is our key to go back to Godhead. As Srila Prabhupada was asked once by one devotee, that will we go back to Godhead? And Srila Prabhupada said, we're taking so much difficulty to help others go back to Godhead. then will Krishna not help us? Will he not take us? Those who take difficulties for Krishna, and in preaching, definitely there'll be difficulties. They will be delivered by Krishna. That is sure. Krishna is very pleased with devotees who take difficulties in his service. And so it is possible to run on a temple by not preaching. It can be it can be the fall down of the whole of a whole preaching movement, is that somehow or other we bring money, and then we don't need to preach. At one time, so many devotees were joining the movement from book distribution, and then we thought, well, they're great at selling books. If we sold paintings, we could make a lot more profit, and then we could make new temples. So let's send everyone out to sell paintings. But the taste of preaching Krishna conscious, of giving people Prabhupada's books, that doesn't come in selling paintings. In which the most popular painting was dog paintings, so I was told. I never had the misfortune to sell such paintings. But the most popular were paintings of people like paintings of dogs. They're not content to have a dog in their house, but they wanted a painting of a dog also. So all kinds of paintings, and devotees would sell them, and devotees were falling down because the emphasis was not on direct preaching, it was on money making. And even though the idea was to use the money in Krishna's service, a lot of it was used in Krishna's service, but as we find often, when money comes easily, that it tends to get misspent, and with money comes Kali, the personality of Kali. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, money, don't keep it. Spend it immediately. Use it for books and temples. Don't keep it. If we keep money in the bank, then the government will come after it. And the danger is there also, that our own devotees may become affected by that. Oh, so much money, I can spend it. Let's have some expensive cars. Let's give ourselves some big salaries because we're working very hard for Krishna. So Krishna wants his devotees to be happy. So I should have a big salary. That's good philosophy. And then when there's money, they're fighting among each other. And then everything becomes, the whole Krishna conscious mood becomes compromised and lost to a large extent. And we lose devotees. Or we may get money from donors, Indians. We can do some pujas for them, and they come and give money, and we can live very comfortably. Then we don't need to preach. Why do we need to preach for? There's Indians are coming, we can preach to them, give some more money. That's the preaching. But there's no bliss, and there's no Krishna conscious, not very highly developed Krishna conscious, and Krishna's not very satisfied with that. We can cheat people. We'll do this puja and you'll overcome all your problems. Navagraha puja. And then you'll overcome all your problems. And then we become just like karmis, Hindus. We lose the essence. So to actually preach means to keep this spirit, that we have to become free from Maya. That means we have to be conscious of what is Maya and what is Krishna conscious. It's quite possible to be in a semi-Krishna conscious version of Maya. It's called Hinduism. What is Hinduism? It's the basic knowledge is there, but people don't want to surrender to Krishna. So they have so many philosophies. Why is there so much philosophy in India? It's all because the clear message of Krishna, the clear message is that we're supposed to surrender to Krishna. But then you have to invent all kinds of philosophies to avoid that, if you want to avoid it. Otherwise, you have to surrender to Krishna. So many philosophies come out. great land of philosophy, India. It's all desperately trying to avoid surrendering to Krishna and make it sound very pious at the same time. So we have to be very careful not to become pious Hindus. We have to go on surrendering to Krishna, not just once. We have to go on surrendering all the time. Otherwise, if money comes also, there's another thing we can do. If we don't have a robot pujari yet, we can hire a pujari. That's there in America, especially. You can hire some devotees from Mexico or Russia or India, give them a green card, and they'll do the puja. You give them a little money. Give them a religious visa, then they get the green card and they're gone. And then you bring some more. And in this way, you can run on the temple because you have enough money coming in. But no, there are no one joining. And even if someone wants to join, someone may actually get a book. You stop distributing books, but somehow or other someone gets a book. And they become enlivened and they say, I want to join. Say, no, we don't have anyone joining here. Yeah, that's what they say in many places. We don't have anyone joining here. So much trouble. Why do you want to preach to someone? And you can just hire someone to do all the services. So why preach to someone? And half the time they bloop anyway, so why bother with all this? Why take the trouble? That's the situation in many centers. That no one ever joined and became a brahmacharya or got initiated. Brahmacharya is too much problem. Some grihasthas, you can hire them. It all runs on money. There's enough money to... The RTs go on and the Indians come and they like it and they give money and it all runs on. It's well-organized business venture, but no one becomes Krishna conscious. So bringing people in, training them, it's difficult, no doubt. It's a what's the word? A thankless task. Thankless task, or some may thank you, but others may not. And they may turn against you even. They may make a court case against you. It's very dangerous in America to initiate because someone can make a court case against you. He misled me and took all my... I worked without any pay for such a long time and they should give me arrears. They brainwashed me and so on. They can do any crazy thing in a court case. Still, we have to do it. Intelligently, we have to be very intelligent to know the difficult situation in the world. But we have to face the obstacles, gladly accept the obstacles. Arjuna didn't want to accept the obstacle. He didn't want to accept the difficulty of having to fight. Krishna told him, you have to. You have to. If you're going to be my Arjuna, you're going to have to do this. I want you to do it. You can't avoid it. You have to do it. But I will help you. I'm with you. So if you're conscious of me, that I want you to do this, I will help you to cross over all obstacles. Jayatam Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janadana. The Pandavas must be successful. There's no question. Even though all the armies are up against them, they must be successful because Krishna is on their side. So if we are actually Krishna conscious, we may appear to be not very successful, but our success is that we're sincerely trying to be Krishna conscious. If we can bring one person to Krishna consciousness, that is our success. And if we bring hundreds and thousands of people to something which vaguely resembles Krishna consciousness, then that is not very glorious. If we can bring one person, the first person we should bring, of course, is ourself. There's so many obstacles we have to fight. Even within our own mind, our own material attachments, even Arjuna why is Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? Because Arjuna has so many material attachments, at least superficially. Of course, he's a great pure devotee. Krishna again and again says, Sangam tyaktva atma shuddhye kayena manasa bhudhya kevalaya indriya api yogina karma kuravanti sangam tyaktva atma shuddhye. This sangam tyaktva, this term Krishna uses several times in Bhagavad Gita, giving up material association. This verse Krishna says, the yogis act with the body, kayena, with the mind, with the intelligence, kayena manasa bhudhya keva, with the senses, simply for the sake of purification, giving up sangam tyagva, giving up material attachment. So that's the real obstacle. The real obstacle is not the pimple on our face or the person I don't like or that I don't have enough money. The real obstacle is our material attachment. And Krishna is telling Arjuna to give that up. Don't be comfortable in this world. Arjuna wanted to... we can live very comfortably in this world if we say, okay, you Kauravas, you want the kingdom? Okay, take it. They're stupid. They're foolish, but why should we... Let them take the kingdom. What the hell? Why are we going to fight with them? Let them take it. Let them take it. They'll be happy, and why should we be attached? We can live. But Krishna wouldn't allow that. No. I don't want that. I don't want that the Kauravas should be indulged. I want you to fight, Krishna told Arjuna. So give up your attachment to this comfortable way of life. You have to do what Krishna says. It's a great challenge. It's a great challenge for Arjuna. It's a great challenge for every one of us. We're very small people in comparison to Arjuna. So we may not have such great obstacles to face, but we all have obstacles. To us, just giving up some small thing might seem as great to us as Arjuna's having to fight with his relatives. But whatever it is, we have to... come to this point. And Krishna is just coming to this point. This is text 58 of the 18th chapter, and he's just coming to the points in just after 8 verses. Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. It's a very heavy message, but it brings us to the point of complete bliss in surrender to Krishna. So we should know it's in our real self-interest to do so. As Krishna tells Arjuna that, and speaking for, what is that he says? Sarvagu hyatamam bhuya shunome paramam vachaha ishtose me dhridamiti tato vakshami te hitam. Krishna says, I'll now speak to you the highest, most confidential knowledge. You just listen. Because you are very dear to me, Krishna says, I'm telling you this, which is for your highest benefit. Now, Krishna is saying this to Arjuna, for Arjuna's highest benefit. There's no easy way. We have to, in this material world, to face difficulties. That is a... that is a great blessing. Everyone's trying to find comfort and avoid difficulties. But of course, foolishly facing difficulties for no good reason, that has very little value. But in Krishna's service, that facing difficulties, that will purge us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that Krishna purifies his devotees in the fire of ordeal. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? And what does this practically translate into us? Then we go on to Harinam Sankirtan, we distribute books. That's all. And then obstacles will arise in our own minds, in the minds of others, but we have to go on doing it, that's all. Keep on doing it.
If we make observation of this material world in general, this mode of ignorance, we can say.
Yeah, the whole material world is full of ignorance.
So this, maybe we can say, characteristic, which is fear.
Yeah, that's another standard feature of material existence, fear.
So as we see, maybe the general purpose, this is completely run for this fear. Everyone is rushing and not making any success. This existential crisis. But maybe we can see maybe this fear element is not so, how to say, bad. For example, Krishna's devotee is naturally afraid of Maya. Can we how to make this, if you can explain this distinction? Difference.
The distinction between material fear, material fear being afraid of pain, and healthy fear is fear of falling into Maya. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's true. That's good. That's a healthy fear.
Because maybe sometimes this fear can also go through maybe to fanaticism, maybe sometimes.
Fear can come to fanaticism, maybe. All right. Any other question?
Krishna asked Arjuna to fight against his guru and his grandfather and his relatives. So it's against the dharma that Arjuna was used to follow. So Krishna established the topmost dharma is to follow Krishna's order. And is it sometimes that we as devotees say that we will just follow Krishna and then neglect our regular dharma in our life?
Krishna told Arjuna to go against standard dharma and just do what Krishna wanted. So does that mean that we who consider ourselves to be devotees can just jettison standard dharma? No. Standard dharma is generally helpful, but we have to understand it in the context of Krishna consciousness. Just like rising early and bathing is done by all members of Vedic culture, not just devotees. Karmis, Gyanis, Yogis, everyone does that. That is part of dharma. It's part of dharma to act according to one's psychophysical condition. In Krishna consciousness, there may be circumstances in which the worldly dharma is to be left behind, but usually it is to be acting within that framework in consciousness of Krishna. Just like here, Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight. which is Arjuna's role as a Kshatriya. But he tells Arjuna to fight for Krishna, on Krishna's order, because Krishna wants it. This was a case which often arises of considerations of dharma coming in conflict. Dharma Sankat, it's called. Or in, or that would be called an ethical dilemma. Just like, for instance, in Western philosophy, it's often given an example of an ethical dilemma. It's a funny sounding one, but it seems to be fairly common. Is that, what is that? There's a train coming, you're standing on a bridge, and there's a train coming along, and there are children playing on the railway track, and they don't see the train. I just can't remember, what is it exactly? And then there's a fat man standing on the bridge. Is it, do you remember this one? Is it proper to push the fat man off the bridge, which will stop the, which will kill him, but it'll stop the train, and the children will be saved? So can you kill one innocent bystander to save the lives of four or five children? It's an ethical dilemma. Normally you wouldn't push a fat man off a bridge or any other man off a bridge, but is it justified to do so in such a circumstance? This is called an ethical dilemma. And life is full of them, maybe not as dramatic as this. Arjuna was faced with that. Should he fight or not fight? And the conclusion is, he should do what Krishna wants. If Krishna had wanted him not to fight, he should have not fought. But in this case, Krishna wanted him to fight. That's the point. So it's not that dharma is to be given up, but we should understand how to act according to Krishna's desire, which is generally in line with ordinary worldly dharma, because after all, that's the system that Krishna gives for living in the... Krishna gives that system for living in this world. Then someone there had a question? Yeah, okay.
Jedno pitanje, vrlo kratko, jednostavno. Koliko naša karma iz prošlih života utječe na teškoće u predanom služenju Krišni? Hvala.
To which degree does our karma from our previous life influence our practice of Krishna consciousness?
To what degree does the karma from our previous life influence our practice of Krishna consciousness? To the degree that we're not Krishna conscious. That's the answer. If we're fully Krishna conscious, then we won't be affected by any material considerations. To the degree that we're not Krishna conscious, that much we are affected by material considerations. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.